we'll call it Rainmaker, and the whole thing would be based on investing in people and things that I believed in and I cared about. It was what I would call fast deals, fast money. That wasn't what it was all about. And this was going to be my thing.
Are you in the process of creating something huge and you want to understand how others have done it? Or have you already found success and still feel something is missing? Then this podcast is for you. Welcome to the Alchemist Lounge, a podcast where Alex Atwood chats with top performers to discover habits, routines, and alchemy that you can put to work in your own life.
Today, I am so excited to be talking to a good friend of mine who happens to be a psychonaut, an adventure capitalist, an investor, a CEO, an entrepreneur, and a very unique individual in his own right, Mr. David Nixad. David has over 25 years of investing experience under his belt. He's known for finding and funding early stage startups with enormous potential. He's also passionate about health and wellness, and he is very involved in the wellness space. David is the founder and CEO of Orthogonal Thinker, which he describes as a utopian holding company, and they specialize in space, crypto, cannabis, psychedelics, clean food, retreat centers, you name it. If it's in the wellness space, they are invested or interested in it. It is so great to see you, David, and thank you for joining the show. And I want to start this by saying this is the first show under the Alchemist Lounge. And I think, David, you're a perfect first guest for the first show because you are definitely an alchemist. And so thank you for joining. So let's chat. I am in DC taping this right now, and that's where you're from. So tell me about your experiences in DC and what you learned and who David was in those days.
So my life started in Washington, DC. I was born and raised there. My father came to DC back in the 70s. And I would say, what a place to grow up. Watch things from HIV, which I always talk about my experiences being in DuPont Circle, very similar to COVID and things. And it was revolutionary. I think a lot of people that talk to me about New York, I think DC was very revolutionary, and we were sort of that epicenter of government and everything. I mean, I can remember GW, Georgetown, M Street. It was a melting pot of everything, and we got to see a good look at the world before I made my adventures all the way to Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, there was so much to be learned back then. And I don't think we understood just all of the dramatic changes in society that we were experiencing from the perspective of really the power seat of the world, right? We didn't understand that. And we had this cross-section of friends and people that we would see that were from all different countries, so multicultural. So with that, we were able to really experience a lot. And I particularly remember that you were always busy working, whether it was in the family business or whether it was your own endeavor that you were just trying to birth at the time. And so you always had that hustle mentality. That's just kind of where it was. Let's sort of cut to where you really started to shift from being sort of an entrepreneur to an investor and someone who went from running their family business, right?
I think I was all around the family business. Yeah. I mean, I think that the family was in all types of businesses.
And yeah, that's true.
I was sort of a viewer of those businesses. And I think that things are like hamster wheels before you decide to jump off. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is what I will tell you, because I don't want to get into a whole family discussion, is that I am proud of my family. I think that what they have done in everything they've done, whether it was import, export, or real estate, or whatever they've built, they've done a great job. And I would say this, and I say this to my father and my family often, I would not be here today if I didn't have that drive. Do I think it's always good to have that kind of like, you haven't done well till you're like a billionaire or you own like this big house? No, I don't really look at it like that. But yes, I would tell you that I appreciate my family and I appreciate everybody that came to this country from another country, because I'm watching it here in Miami now. that understands that this is probably the greatest place to live. And a lot of people ask me about, do I want to move to Portugal or somewhere? No, I want to have an American passport. I want to pay taxes. I want to enjoy a country that I feel very safe in.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And we share that background coming from immigrant parents who lived and succeeded and found challenges in the American dream. So let's talk about your investing, though. So what were some of the early successes that motivated you to keep investing? Like, what was it that really that you found in companies or that you found in the experience of seeding companies and taking ideas? What was it in that that really sort of motivated you further?
I mean, I think I let's go back to the days where we some of my childhood friends would bring me deals in my early 20s and we'd put $5,000 or $10,000 in. Or
I remember those deals.
Or we were bringing a famous DJ to a nightclub, right, and we were negotiating water. Right. We'll get the split on the water and the alcohol. And then we invested in real estate, and I sort of got my toes into everything. And I think that when you're investing on the basis of just money, fiat, and it's about just money, I think that you're not going to be a great investor. And by the furthest point, I don't believe I'm the greatest investor. I think our team in general, we are great investors because we invest for Dharma. We invest as an obsession. And I think that where that took place, because I've had a lot of deja vus, was really between the year of 06 and 08. And really watching the financial, you know, we saw the dot-com bust go. I saw my own family deal with things in the 90s when the interest rates and real estate and everything. But I think that one thing I've learned through these cycles is that it's all going to work out if you believe. And that's why today, when we talk about hyperinflation at over 30%, and we talk about all the rest of it, it really doesn't faze me because I know that what I'm working on is beyond a job. It's an obsession. It's my purpose. I want to see what I leave for my children as well as your children. We have daughters that share a birthday coincidentally. I don't think it's a coincidence.
There's no coincidence.
There is no coincidences. So yeah, I would say one of the greatest experiences that I had was in 2008, driving to meet a lawyer in. So things had fallen apart. I had written on a scratch piece of paper, I wrote Rainmaker. Who the fuck knows? I said, everybody's always told me since I was a kid, I was a rainmaker. I would always like, I was good at sales. I could raise money. So I was like, we'll call it Rainmaker. And the whole thing would be based on investing in people and things that I believed in and I cared about. And it was like any like, what I would call like fast deals, fast money, like that wasn't what it was all about. And I was going to, this was going to be my thing. And it was the end of 2008, 2009. And I was on my way to San Francisco driving and things felt really weird. I think I had done the deal in Betterment. That was kind of an orthogonal moment. I was going to go put a number of these deals that I had done into this like personal fund. I was like, okay, let me do this. No outside investors. It's going to be my money. And then basically I'm driving to San Francisco. The lawyer goes, listen, there's this thing going on in Mountain View called Y Combinator. I think you should go check it out. Everybody says it's super cool and I can get you like a ticket. Like I can call and get you in. And at that time it was like literally I don't think there were more than like 30 investors. There was like 18 people in that class. And I think it was, I never went to college. I barely finished high school. And like, I think hearing Paul Graham talk, it was like, oh, wow, there's like really smart people doing smart things. And like, this is super cool. So I would probably say talking to a number of people, meeting Paul Graham and listening to him was probably like, it was like the Messiah. It was like, okay, I got it. Like, this is fucking super cool. There's a lot of super super smart people that want to do like crazy shit, and went down that road. And I was like, okay, yeah, I was very lucky to meet some really cool people like Alan Grant that started Talkable, which ended up co-founding Hired, which became a billion-dollar company. We were the first investor in Talkable. Met Michael Litt from Vidyard. We were the first investor in that. I think maybe second, right behind Yuri Milner and like the CEO of BlackBerry. And it was just like, oh my God, I love this. This is super cool.
Well, as you say, you see
I think I even called you and told you about a couple of these companies.
You did. Well, well, what you said when you did. And the thing was, you always had 2 or 3 or 10 or 12
Yeah.
Companies, but really, was it the companies or was it the people behind the companies, right? It was really, I've always known you to be someone to build very strong relationships and put your energy in a real way. And I can see how it makes you really alive and it makes you feel enlivened and you really enjoy watching, creating, and birthing. And it's just who you are. It's in your DNA. I mean, that's just where it is.
My card says, I love meeting strangers and approach them with boldness and enthusiasm.
Yes. From day one, David, whenever we would go anywhere, you were always somewhere in the front or somewhere there with a very unique, distinct voice and always an opinion that was authentically you. That is what, David, you've done like in any room that you're in. And so I acknowledge that.
Okay, so I don't want to take over the conversation, but
no.
I have to say that something happened to me in the midst of all of this being in LA, where I met my co-founder today, which was my former lawyer, Jason Hobson. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people don't understand that I couldn't be here and most people can't be where they're at without the most incredible team. And I would say that our current team and my co-founders, again, like I think that, again, it comes down to the team. And I would say fast forward to the present, we probably have one of the most kick-ass teams out there. And I tell people this a lot, I think as good as some of the biggest funds that are in Miami right now.
Well, you've seen a lot of them, so you would know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What I will tell you is that I put love and good energy in everything that I do. And I think that, not to give it all away, because we're actually starting a very new cool company, and I was thinking about the name of it, but everything for me now, I'm 45, comes down to love. And for me, when I think about building in the metaverse and building on planet Earth and what I leave behind, that checkbox of a billion-dollar company, that's easy. Now it's like, what am I going to build out of love and something that I'm just so fucking passionate about that it's like, it's my dharma, it's love, it's everything. And that's what the team is working on right now. And we see this age of psychedelics, rockets, crypto. It's a whole new frontier. And I think that, hey, I wish it would have happened in my 20s and 30s, but I've always said you got to have wisdom to have power. And I think that when I look at people like Paul Graham and Naval and all the guys that I listen to, like these are guys that are very wise, they have power. And I think you need wisdom in order to do that well. And I do believe, because I see it here in Miami, as much as we think it's cool to be the richest man on earth or woman, those people aren't always happy. So it's like Anthony Pompliano said, how do you become a time billionaire? Well, for me, it's like, how do I become a billionaire of my own emotional intelligence? Mm-hmm. And I think if you really want to talk about longevity, yeah, it has to do with diet and what you put in and on your body, but it also starts from here. And if you can really control this, and I always say we control nothing, we know nothing, but really be able to keep this neutral perspective and have this voice of consciousness and invoke love, that is longevity. That's what the world needs right now. It needs empathy, it needs love, and hopefully we get it. We're in a time where there's so much money floating around. I hope more money comes to, again, people argue with me about this all the time, but I do think mental health is number one, two, three right now.
So love is the currency and it comes from here. So my last question for you, because we're talking about love, is, and I actually got this from a card. I always pick a random card.
Oh, geez. So we'll pick a random card too. Okay.
Here we go. Yeah. It's called What's Your, have you ever heard of this game? It's called What's Your Word. It's probably.
Yeah. I like it. All right. I have lots of those.
Yeah. So the question is, what makes you feel love? You can see it. That's what it is.
I had this discussion with, I've had this discussion with my co-founders, some of them on psychedelics, some of them not on psychedelics. And I never judge people on that. But when we talk about it in what I call the different lenses, I think at the end of the day, as we get older, we want to be around our, we want to be around what we call Ohana family. We want to hang out, be with our friends. And I don't think it's something you can buy. I think I live in a building with a lot of people that are unhappy. There's a lot of people that are happy, but it's a building that has people with money. And I think at the end of the day, I don't want to be one of these guys that's always worried about people suing me and everything else that you can imagine. Yeah. Do we have a lot of lawyers as co-founders? And, you know, I think we have like 10 lawyers on board. So it's like, yeah, I don't think anybody wants to have that as their full-time job.
Yeah. So what makes you really feel loved is just having...
Being with my friends. Being with
your friends.
Being with my kids.
Yeah.
Being with your kids. I mean,
yeah,
being anywhere over like a fire and cooking kebabs and, you know, like just cruising.
I got it. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome, brother. Wow. This was amazing. It was amazing.
Long time.
Yes.
Thanks for listening in to The Alchemist Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review on Apple iTunes. To catch all the latest from Alex Atwood, you can check out his website at alexatwood.co. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time at The Alchemist Lounge.